Amen. This morning, I just want to share briefly with you something I've titled, Activating the Power in You. Activating the Power in You. As it is our custom in this church, the beginning of every month, we have a theme for the month. And this month, I've themed it Power. Why power? Because power is very important as Christians. We need to understand that God has given us certain powers as his children for us to operate in. The book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus told his disciples, the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, it says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. It says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Listen to me, this year is a year of supernatural exploits. And you find that in that scripture, Jesus was telling his disciples that I'm giving you power to do certain things. And the same way, in this year, if you want to do supernatural exploits, if you want to do supernatural achievements, uncommon achievements this year, if you want to achieve some of the things you've never done before, then you need God to endue you with power. You need to receive power from on high so that you can go and do the assignment, the task that God has given you to do. Amen? Now, the word power has many meanings. It has many meanings, many interpretations. It means the ability to do or to act. It means the capability of doing or accomplishing something. Another interpretation of it is the possession of control or command over others. That means authority. Having authority, it means that having control over certain things, certain areas. Now, for the sake of, just to give more clarity to the interpretation and definition of it, I went to check the meaning. The word power in the New Testament is taken from different Greek words, the translation from different Greek words. One of the words in Greek is dunamis. Now, the word dunamis is taken from the root word in English called dynamite. So when it says you have power, it means you have dynamite. I don't know if you understand. You see, when robbers, when thieves, when they want to raid the bank, and after they, if they reach a strong, the safe that is made of iron and things, what do? They get dynamite, they get explosives to blow it. That means the power you have can blow anything out of the way. No, you don't sound like you believe me. The power that is resident in you can blow anything out of your way that is stopping you from entering into God's promises for you. Dunamis means dynamite. Get this. It means the inherent power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature. So that means that there's some power residing in you by the nature that you are a son of God. It means there's some inherent power on the inside of you, lying dormant at the moment, but you have it because you are a son of God, a child of God. It means, the dunamis, it means the power for performing miracles. You know, when the Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8, when it says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, it is talking about the inherent power that they were going to receive, that is going to reside upon them so that they will be witnesses. Amen? Now, just in case you still don't understand, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, the Bible says something. It says that now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we ask or think, according to what? The power that works in us. I'm not sure you understand what I'm saying. There is some kind of dynamite power, inherent on your inside that you need to activate. There's some kind of power on your inside that is dormant at the moment that can do miracles, that can break doors. Amen? I need a church that is awake this morning. Get this. The word power, another part of the Bible, sometimes when the word power is used, it's taken from the Greek word exousia. That's E-X-O-U-S-I-A. Exousia. Now, this means the power of authority. Now, that means that the power of rule or to rule, the power of government, Exousia means that there's a level of authority that you have. In the book of Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, the Bible tells us something. It says Jesus called his disciples. It says when he had called his disciples, he said something. He says that, Matthew 10, 1, and when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them what? Power over unclean spirits. Another version, the NIV version, I believe, puts it as authority. He says he has given them authority. So in that part, he was talking about the authority or the power to rule that Jesus had given his disciples. So he was saying that the exousia that I'm giving you so that you can have authority to rule. And when you have that authority, he says, he gave them authority over unclean spirits. Am I talking to somebody this morning? He said he gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Listen to me. The power in this scripture that he was referring to there was exousia. In Matthew 28, verse 18, the Bible says something. It says that Jesus said something. He said, all power has been given to me in heaven and on earth. He was referring to the exousia that he held. Another version of that scripture says, all authority. I think the King James version. It says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So he was referring to the exousia. He was saying that the exousia that I have the authority. Amen? Now, I know this is not Bible school, so I'm not going to continue about the Greek words, but I needed to talk about that because the power and the authority that you have is such that you can do exploits. You see, the point I'm trying to make is that with the power you have comes authority as well. And those two combined together is powerful. Is ultra powerful. It is maximized power. It is maximum powerful. It is dynamically powerful. So that means the dynamite with the power mixed together. I don't know if there's any such word in the dictionary, but I just created mine. Now, you need both the power and the authority in order to experience supernatural exploits in your life. I want you to know that I'm just trying to, let me summarize my message. I want you to understand that there is a certain power resident in you that you can activate. Every spirit-filled Christian has the power and authority to do certain things and to perform at a certain level that is not available to other people. I said every spirit-filled Christian, in case you did not hear me correctly, I'm not talking about some, I'm not talking about one, I'm not talking about few. Every spirit-filled Christian has the power and authority to do certain things and perform at a certain level that is not available to other people. Listen to me. The Bible says in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, it says you have the power. It says, I've given you the power to make wealth. That means that you have the power to make wealth. God has given you a certain level of wisdom that should cause you to make wealth. In the book of Matthew 10, verse 1 that we read earlier, Jesus said that he gave his disciples the power over unclean spirits to cast them out. That means you have the power to cast unclean spirits out. And he says to heal sicknesses and diseases. You have the power to heal all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of diseases. You see, in Mark 11, 23, 24, it talks about the faith to move mountains. That means that you have the power to move every mountain that stands in your way. Oh my goodness, I wish there's somebody here that understands what I'm talking about. You have the power. Listen to me. You should not stand before a mountain and turn back. You should not stand before an obstacle and say that, oh, what will I do? You have the power and the authority to speak to that mountain and it will be moved. I pray this morning in the name of Jesus that you'll have a better revelation of the power you have. In the name of Jesus, I pray that there will be a stirring in your spirit that will provoke you to begin to activate that power in the name of Jesus. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that you will be endued from on high this morning, that the power of the Holy Ghost will overshadow you in the name of Jesus. You see, my assignment this morning is very simple. That just as we have declared that this is a year of supernatural exploits, I've come to remind you that you have the ability to accomplish much. But you know, the unfortunate thing is that as much as every spirit-filled Christian has this power, very few of them know they have it. Even fewer people walk in it. The power is dormant. Even the authority they have, they don't realize they have that authority. You know, when you have power and you cannot use it, it can be frustrating. Let me explain what I mean. In the country where I come from, there are some terrible people that they call armed robbers. And there are some good people that they call policemen.
Yes, they are good.
Now, the policemen, in reality, have power and authority. In reality, theoretically, in theory. And the armed robbers, in theory, do not have authority or power. But what tends to happen is that when the policemen, usually, are maybe at a checkpoint or something, now they have the power and authority. The fact that they are wearing uniform gives them authority. But when the armed robbers come up, show up with Uzi, and then the policemen, all they have is shakabula. What is shakabula? The one you cock. Rifle. A shotgun. You know, the armed have AK-47. They are. And then, what happens? The power of the armed robbers is more than the power of the policemen. So the policemen run. And they are oppressed by the evil ones. Now, that's what happens to you when you have power that is dormant, that you can't use. The evil that is not meant to be as powerful as you are. You see, the policemen have both power and authority, which is derived from the government, whereas the power of the armed robbers is derived from the devil. But because the policemen, their power is dormant, it's not up to date. It's not well activated. Even though they have the authority, if they stand in front of them, I say, I stop you in the name of the government. You see, that's what, listen to me. As a Christian, if you try to use your authority and you don't have the power, it will be like the sons of Sceva. You know, in Acts 19, it talks about the seven sons of Sceva. He said that the demons came out and beat them and nakeded them. let me move on. Let me go to my message. Am I making sense? So you need the power. You need authority. Spiritual power comes from two sources. It comes from the kingdom of God or from the kingdom of darkness. Now, the truth of the matter is a lot of people look for power. But they look in different areas, different places. But this morning, we are talking about the power from the kingdom of God. That's what we are concerned about, because that is the genuine power. And it is what we are talking about. Now, you need to understand that the foundation of any power from God, from the kingdom of God, is from the gospel. The power of God is about God himself. And you cannot have that power without knowing God. You cannot have that power without having God. You cannot have that power without loving God. You see, you cannot have the benefits of God's power if you do not know him. You see, get this. In order to operate the power from the kingdom of God, you need to know the gospel. Otherwise, what happens is that the devil will deceive you and present the fake thing before you. Let me just quickly talk about certain characteristics of power. The power of God is invisible, but its effect is visible. So what do I mean? You cannot physically see the power of God, but you can see the effects of its operation. So if you try to catch the power of God, you cannot catch it physically, but you can see the operation, it's in operation. In the book of Luke chapter 5 verse 17, the Bible says something. It says that, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Now, this power was not visible to the eye, physical eye, but its effect was visible. So when it says the power of God, when we say the presence of God is in this place, you cannot see that presence, but you can see the effect of it. And when you have it, you know it. Amen? The second thing, characteristic of power, is that the power of God can be transmitted or transferred. What does this mean? It means it can be received or it can be applied. Or it can be received and applied. Now get this. A lot of times, and I use the word a lot of times because we can't put God in a box. And it works in different ways. But a lot of times, the conductor for the transmission is faith. The conductor for the transmission of God's power is faith. So, in the book of Mark chapter 5, from verse 25, the Bible talks about the woman with issue of blood. Let's turn there. Let me show you one or two things. Bible talks about the woman with issue of blood. And it's a story we know very well. And it says that the woman with that issue, she had a flow of blood for 12 years. She had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all her money. And then Jesus was passing through that day. And she said, if only I can touch the hem of his garment. Listen to me. Jesus was a carrier of the power. And she caught something. She understood something. That this power can be transferred or transmitted into my body. But the way that it needs to be transmitted, her, in her own thinking, is if I touch him, in her thinking. Are you getting this? Now, join me in reading from chapter 5, verse 30. Let me read from verse 28. It says, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. Verse 30. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? Now, let me stop you for a minute. When the woman touched the hem of the garment, the Bible says Jesus knew that power had gone out. There had been a transmission of the power. Get this. That transmission was not visible to the naked eye. Because the disciples were asking Jesus, what do you mean? So there are many people here. How can you say somebody has touched you? There are many people touching you. They were thinking of physical touch. But Jesus was talking about the spiritual transmission of that power. Am I making sense? And you know, it's interesting. Because further on, in verse 34, notice what the conductor for that power was. It says, and he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Listen to me. Many people touch Jesus at that point in time. Because the disciples said there are many people touching you. But only one person received that power. And why? Because there was a conductor of faith that caused that power to be transmitted. Oh my goodness, I think I'm preaching good. Don't mind me. If you don't encourage me, I'll encourage myself. Now, please, for people that don't know me, it's not arrogance. I remember some time ago, somebody came to meet me and said, Pastor, you shouldn't be saying you are preaching well. Hallelujah. Let me go on. Let me not go there. So what am I talking about here? The power can be transmitted. And get this. Your faith this morning can cause the power to be transmitted into your life. For that power in your life to be activated. You know, in the book of Matthew 10:1 that we read earlier, the Bible says something. It says that Jesus gave his disciples power over unclean spirits. It says he gave. Now, it wasn't a physical giving. But there was a transmission or a transference of the power, the authority he had, that he gave to his disciples. The third thing is that the power of God, and I use this with caution, I say this with caution, is measurable. In some instances, you can measure the level of power operating. Now, I don't mean like the way we measure it, but I'll tell you what I mean. In the book of 2 Kings, chapter 2, verse 9, Elisha, the Bible talks about Elisha following Elijah all over the place. And when he was about to be taken up, and Elijah asked him, what do you want? He said, give me a double portion. So he was specific. He was measurable that based on the level of power you have, anointing you have, I want twice as much. Amen? So it is measurable. He requested for a specific measurable amount. Now get this. You need the power of God in your life. A lot of times when Christians go through oppression, when Christians are depressed, when Christians are suppressed, a lot of times it is because the power you have in you is dormant. The Bible says, how can you plunder the goods of a man, of a strong man, unless a stronger man comes. So you need to be stronger. Amen? And you are already stronger, but you are not using the strength. You know, it reminds me of a story, well, a certain gentleman that I read in his book, you know. He used to wrestle with his sons, you know, just play around and things. Now, of course, he was stronger than the sons, but he did not use his power. So he used to allow his sons to pin him down. So he was stronger, but he wasn't using it. Now you are stronger than anything that may come your way. Because you have the power, you have the authority. Hallelujah. Let me quickly talk about how we activate the power and then we'll pray a bit. How do we activate the power? You know, in the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 35, the Bible says something. Let me talk about how we activate the power. The first way is through prayers. Through your prayers. Now, listen to me. If you want more power, you pray more. If the level of power you are operating at the moment is not such that is allowing you to be victorious, you want to increase your level of prayer. If you are praying 10 minutes a day and it's not working accomplishments in your life, you want to increase that. You see, the Bible says something in the book of James chapter 5. Let's look at it. James chapter 5. Verse 16. I'm interested in the B part of it, which a lot of us know and quote. It says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Notice that it says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And it says in verse 17, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. So he was like us. But he said something, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Let me explain something. There are two key words that he says there, or three. He says effective and fervent. You know, sometimes when we pray, and sometimes when we're praying, or we're praying in a meeting, I watch people pray. We are praying. Let me put it this way. A lot of people pray from their head, not from their spirit. Not many people pray that they begin to sweat. You see, it says the effective, fervent. Effective means that efficient is not the same as effective. You can be efficient at doing something, but not effective with it. Efficient means doing things well. Effective means doing the right things. Now, it says the effective. Effective means being strategic. Effective means using scripture to pray. Effective means letting your prayers be directed. You see, sometimes when people pray, they are just shooting. During the Iraq War, one of the things the Americans did is that they used to gather intelligence. And when they go raiding, what they would do is from the planes before they go, the war planes, they would already know the target. So they would target a particular location. They just don't go throwing the bombs around or something, hoping that they would hit the right spot. Now, when it says effective, fervent, effective means that when you are praying, you need intelligence. You need intelligence to pray. Now, I don't mean human intelligence. Spiritual intelligence. You need intelligence to know what you are facing. You need intelligence to have an understanding of the scriptures, to know the weapon that will hit that target, that will be effective with that target. When David wanted to fight Goliath, and Saul gave him his sword, he knew that, okay, this one may work for Saul or someone else. But for me, this is what is effective, the stones. And he chose the ones that were effective for him. Am I making sense? So when I'm talking about praying, I don't mean that you don't pray. Some people pray for 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, but it may not be effective. You want to become like the, what was that, hit squad, when you are praying, like the Americans. Amen. The Bible says the effective fervent. Fervent means that he was fervent in his prayer. And it says when he did that, there was a change. Listen to me. There are certain blessings that have been designated for you. Those blessings may not be released until you pray effectively and fervently. There are certain prophecies that have been spoken concerning your life. There are certain things, ministries, that God has written concerning your life. But those ministries, you will not see the manifestation until you start praying effectively and fervently. You know, when we came to this city, when we wanted to start a church, and we moved into a new city, I did not just say we are starting the church. First of all, I went on the internet, found out as much as possible about the city. I went to the library, tried to do some spiritual mapping, having an understanding of the spiritual mapping, an understanding of how the city was created. And then we spent some months praying before we even met out in a gathering or took a hall to start the church. So that I had an understanding of the sort of ground that we were coming to plant a church in. Am I making sense? I did not just come marching. Hey! Because there's a strong man in the city that we need to dislodge. And if I just come, not knowing the sort of things, what's the foundation of the city? And when I went to see some people that had been here, some pastors that had been here before, I asked them questions. They gave me information about the things in the city. I set the internet. I dug around to find out the prevalent problems, issues facing the city. So I came in, and we, you know, when we started praying, we were praying with intelligence. And in your life, for it to be effective, for you to have supernatural exploits, you need to begin to get intelligence concerning issues in your life. Am I making sense? And as you get intelligence, you know the scriptures, the weapons that will work against those things. You know, in the book of Daniel chapter 9, the Bible says that Daniel understood the prophecy given by Jeremiah. And what did he do? He first got an understanding of prophecy and then started praying effectively concerning that prophecy. Prayer, when you pray effectively and fervently, you begin to see supernatural exploits. You know, in the book of Isaiah 38, verses 1 to 6, the Bible says something. It says that God sent Isaiah to Hezekiah to inform him that he was about to die. Now, when Hezekiah heard the news, he started praying. God heard his prayers and sent the same prophet that went to give him the bad news, sent him back and said, hey, okay, I've changed my mind. I'll add another 15 years. Prayer. You cannot have power without prayers. You see, people that want power and are not ready to pray, what tends to happen is they will receive the fake thing. Because it will just be an entry point for evil spirits and occultic things. Different powers operate in this world. You know that? That's why when Moses, when he did certain things, he threw his rod down and he turned into a serpent. What happened? The magicians came. Did the same thing. Do you think they were operating using the same power? But the effects look the same. The results. So it's not everybody that you see getting results that is using the power of God. And people that go seeking power without God, without prayers, will end up getting the wrong one. Am I making sense? The second thing is obedience. Now, this seems simple, but very key. In the book of Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible says something. Jesus said something. He said, well, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now, if we backtrack to Acts chapter 1, verse 4, he told them something. He said, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them. Notice that. He commanded them, he instructed them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. Now, listen to me. Jesus told his disciples that do not depart from Jerusalem and wait for the promise, the Holy Spirit. Now, the Bible makes us to understand that later on in Acts chapter 2, we saw the manifestation of that Holy Spirit upon their lives. So the Holy Spirit came upon them, there was power. Now, I wonder if some of the disciples had decided to move away from Jerusalem, whether they would have received that power. They would not have received the power. Get this. Obedience to the word of God is one of the things that activates the power in you. Let me repeat that. Obedience to the word of God activates the power in you. Let me take it further down. Obedience to the man of God that God has called you to activates the power in you. You know, in 2 Kings chapter 14, let's look there quickly. Are you getting something today? 2 Kings 14. Let me read from verse 14. Did I say 2 Kings 14? No, it's not 2 Kings 14 I want. Hang on. I can't find the scripture now. But basically, the scripture, when Elisha was on his deathbed, and it was... Okay, it's 2 Kings 13, sorry. 2 Kings 13, 14. Are you there? It says, Elisha had become sick with the illness of which he would die. Then Joash, the king of Israel, came down to him and wept over his face and said, "Oh, my father, the chariots of Israel and their horsemen." And Elisha said to him, notice that, he said, "Take a bow and some arrows." So he took himself a bow and some arrows. So he gave him instructions. Then he said to the king of Israel, "Put your hands on the bow." So he put his hand on it, and Elisha put his hands on the king's hands. And he said, "Open the east window," and he opened it. Then Elisha said, "Shoot," and he shot. And he said, "The arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for you must strike the Syrians at Aphek till you have destroyed them." Notice that. He gave him instructions, and he said what to do, and he gave him the prophecy that represents that. But... Get this. Verse 18. Then he said, "Take the arrows." So he took them, and he said to the king of Israel, "Strike the ground." So he struck 3 times and stopped. Elijah didn't tell him how many times. He said, "Strike the ground." So he probably expected him to continue striking. And the man of God was angry with him and said, "You should have struck 5 or 6 times. Then you would have struck Syria till you had destroyed it. But now you strike Syria only 3 times. But the point I'm making is that they were under attack. And Joash came to Elisha, and the prophet gave him instructions that do this. And after he did that, he was assured of victory. Amen? So obedience activates the power. Listen to me. The obedience of Joash activated the power for him to be able to defeat the enemy. It was disobedience that caused Saul to lose his throne and kingship. Listen to me. Disobedience is costly. It is. Disobedience is expensive. It will cost you not just money. It can cost you your time. It has cost some people their lives. It has cost some people their destiny. Disobedience. You see, disobedience will not only rob a person of the power of God, in their life, but it can also steal their destiny. That's what happened to Samson. The third thing, as I try to round up, the third thing that will activate the power resident in you are your words. Words. You see, the words you speak has power. The Bible tells us that God spoke the word and the world was created. He created the world through the power of his words. Your words can create your world. Listen to me. The Bible makes us to understand that we are created in the image of God. It also makes us to understand in the book of Romans chapter 4 from verse 17. It says that God calls those things which do not exist as though they did. You have the same creative power in your words as God does. In the book of Job chapter 22, it says you shall pay your vows. And then it says you will declare a thing and it will be established for you. So the declarations of your mouth, it means that it has the power to establish your life. Am I making sense? Now, get this. Your words have the ability to create or destroy. When you speak the word of God, what happens? The power goes with it, and it has the power to change situations. Listen to me. In the book of Matthew chapter 8, from verses 5 to 13. Matthew 8, 5 to 13. The Bible talks about a certain centurion who went to meet Jesus and said, "Jesus, my servant is ill and is dying." And Jesus was about to go with him. He said, "No, master, you don't have to come." He said, "You don't have to come, that I myself am a man under authority." And he said something. He said, "Jesus, only just speak the word. All you need to do is just speak the word." He understood something. He understood that once Jesus spoke the word, the power would go forth. And the Bible says that, he said, just speak the word. You know, that I said to one to go, and they go. Where do they go? Because he has the power. His words have the power. So he understood that concept, that Jesus, I know you have authority, I know you have power. Once you speak the word, I know behind those words are the power to change that situation. Listen to me. The Bible says that very same hour, after Jesus spoke the word, he said that, "I have not seen such faith in Israel." Notice the conductor again. Can you see the conductor? It was the faith behind. And he said, and he says that very same hour, the centurion servant was healed. Let me give you another one. In the book of Luke chapter 4, you know, when the Bible talks about Satan tempting Jesus, verses 1 to about 13 or thereabouts. Now, the only weapon Satan used against Jesus, notice this, was the word. He used words. And what was the weapon Jesus used? Words. There was no physical battle. But the words, get this, in case you don't understand, when Goliath faced the Israelites' army, the only thing that he used against them were his words. He used his words to intimidate them. So there's power in words spoken. You see, when you begin to speak words, it activates power that is resident in you. When you begin to speak words that line up with the Bible, there's a certain power that begins to rise up in you. Listen to me. When Jesus was in the boat, he was sleeping. The Bible says he was sleeping, and his disciples were like, "Well, don't you care if we perish?" And they woke him up. And what did he say? "Peace, be still." Words. The power behind the words he spoke. Your words can activate the power in you if they are in line with the words of God. Let's rise up. We shall begin to pray right now.